Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our second day of our environment article. And we find ourselves on South Padre Island, which is off the southern coast of Texas of the United States, down in the Gulf of Mexico. And traveling with me today, I have two guests in our studio audience.
Hi, my name is Hazel.
And Hazel, what kind of stood out to you about what we discussed yesterday?
Well, in the second column, the second paragraph, it says, it's just one of the highlights of the trip. So helping transplant those little turtle eggs, to some people it might seem like work and they have to do it, but when that's your purpose of your vacation is to help the environment and you've never worked with turtles and eggs, it's probably pretty exciting. So that's one of the highlights of your trip. And plus there are many other things that would be fun to do and a highlight as well.
Okay. And we have?
Hello, everyone. I'm Zach.
Hi, Zach. Welcome.
Thank you.
And what did you find interesting about yesterday's article?
Well, something that I found interesting was, you know, it does take work to transplant the eggs that mm-hmm. are endangered. And just that these rescue missions that people are kind of undergoing, it says that they, at the bottom of the page, on page 32, that they dug up 98 eggs.
From one turtle.
And so just the hard work that they do put into that, and they're inviting others to participate in.
Right. Now, if you can't go all the way to South Padre Island, there are also islands and countries in Asia that do the very same thing.
Certainly.
So, you know, you can at least see the process for sea turtles laying their eggs and how they rescue them and keep them safe from the environment. So, you know, this is great. And if you have a chance to go here, actually, I'd like to go do this myself. But there are places in Asia that you might want to think about, too. I mentioned yesterday that I've been to Turtle Island off of Borneo, off the state of Sabah, which is part of Malaysia, to see a lot of this as well. They're protecting another species of eggs there. We are talking about the Kemp's Ridley turtles here. That's the smallest of the giant sea turtles, and they are critically endangered. So what they're doing to protect them is really vital for their existence. And right. I'm Linda.
Oh, hi, Linda.
And we're glad that you can join us today here on Advanced Radio. Today, we are going to talk about four places on South Padre Island. Yesterday, we introduced kind of the island as a whole. There's a lot of fun things to do. It sounds very serious, doesn't it? So with our eco trip, you know, we're looking at the preservation of the Kemp's Ridley turtles. But, you know, you can also go parasailing. You can go watch sailboats and windsurfing. You can probably even try it. You can eat a lot of local seafood. And you can play in the ocean. You can build sandcastles. There are a lot of things to do.
Most definitely. An all-inclusive kind of experience, both educationally and recreationally.
There you go.
Right. And the last line of yesterday's article says, hit up these eco hotspots.
We're going to hit these hotspots?
We're going to hit these hotspots.
Hit up these hotspots?
A hotspot is a popular place, and if you hit it up, you go there. You try it out.
That's right. So we're going to hit up our first one right now, but let's read about it first. We're on page 33 of your Advanced magazine, so if you have it with you, you might want to turn to that page and follow along as we read it. Or if you have your digital device, you might want to find it so you can follow along as well.
One, Sea Turtle Inc. Isla Letcher, the turtle lady of South Padre Island, started taking in sick and injured sea turtles in 1977. She launched a movement that, over the years, has saved hundreds of turtles. Letcher is gone, but the center carries on her mission of rehabilitation, conservation, and public education. You can learn about the broader plight the Kemp's Ridley turtles face. In 1947, researchers found about 40,000 nests on a beach in Mexico, their primary nesting ground. Poachers decimated the population, and by 1985, fewer than 500 female sea turtles remained. Thanks in part to an agreement between Mexico and the United States, the nesting grounds were protected, and the population rebounded until recently, when numbers dropped again.
So we're being introduced to the turtle lady of South Padre Island, Isla Letcher here. And what did she start doing way back when?
Well, she started taking in sick and injured sea turtles. And that was way back in 1977.
We didn't hear very much about conservation, you know, and the plight of animals and sea turtles back then. I think that conservation, those kind of things were just starting to be, I hate to say the word popular, but, you know, more and more people were getting involved at that time.
Well, and thank goodness they did, because, as it mentions, right, she's no longer with us, but there's the center that carries on her mission and that they are kind of continuing to follow suit.
And they have kind of a, I don't know if it's a mascot, but they have a sea turtle there that actually is missing a couple of her limbs that they keep at the center here that's been rescued. And, you know, yesterday we talked about how these sea turtles can live up to 50 years of age. So you have to keep a turtle like that in a pretty safe environment for it to be able to continue to survive. So what did she do here? What did she launch?
She launched a movement. She launched people to help, people to save hundreds of turtles.
Okay. That takes a lot of effort. And now that she's gone, it carries on. And it looks like her mission is pretty much threefold, right, Zach?
That's right. So obviously to bring rehabilitation.
What does that mean exactly? How do you rehabilitate a turtle?
Good question. I wouldn't know so much, but I think the article kind of points to the fact that, like, if you were to find an injured or a sick turtle, to rehabilitate it would be to kind of nurse it back or to provide some assistance that it would make it stronger again.
Okay.
And we often hear the word rehab. Mm-hmm. Somebody injures an arm or a leg and they go to rehab where they're rehabilitated so they can use their leg or their arm again. Maybe certain exercises or just getting used to certain things, new behavior patterns that needed to change because of the loss.
Well, I think if you know, I think it's pretty obvious that you need to be able to do this in a very safe environment if you're going to be providing rehabilitation to turtles, you know, because if they are like missing a limb, then it's pretty scary to be, you know, trying to survive and swim with just one. So they are helping them to maybe relearn how to swim, that they can actually survive with one leg or one limb. And then they are also involved in conservation. What's that, Zach?
Right. So the other part of our mission, conservation, it's just another word to kind of protect, right? And it's like what we're talking about. We want to protect these turtles in maybe harsher environments, facing the threats of predators or even just other human activity that would threaten the turtles. And so here she's making this effort to, conserve.
Okay.
And, of course, public education, letting the public know that there's a problem and telling people what they can do to help out.
Right. I think that's very important. I don't think that most of us have any idea about the problems. You know, it just seems like one little sea turtle. But, you know, when one little sea turtle is gone, it affects the whole ecosystem along the eastern seaboard. And there are a lot of things involved. It's just so, we're all, you know, dependent on one another. And so for public education, people can learn about this. And it says here, you can learn about the broader plight of the Kemp's Ridley turtles and what they face.
Right. Well, and it also kind of goes back to what you were saying yesterday about having that firsthand experience. Mm-hmm. You really need to go there. But I think public education, not that it serves as a substitute, but it's a great way to inform people from firsthand experience just about kind of what's happening in the world and, in this case, the plight of Kemp's Ridley turtles.
Right. And what is the broader plight that they face? Well, let's look at this word plight. We don't really use this in conversation. You know, I don't say, well, what is your plight? But... Yes. But what does this word mean? It's really a reading word.
Your situation or the story that you have, how you got to where you are. And often when we hear about a plight, we think that it's been a struggle or a negative thing. You know, we might hear about the plight of endangered animals or the plight of a people group who's having a difficult time surviving.
Right. So, yeah, it's a condition, you know, or your situation that you live in. And if you hear the word, it usually involves something unpleasant.
It's often it's a very dramatic word.
Yes.
Right,
yeah,
to add emphasis to it.
Right. So we see the plight that they face. Actually, this is pretty shocking. So 1947, okay, and there were around 40,000 nests on a beach in Mexico. And I just really want to point out again, if you look at the map on page 32, you'll see that South Padre Island is at the southern tip kind of Texas, and Mexico is the next country. Okay?
It looks right on the edge of Mexico and Texas, doesn't it?
Yes. So it's right down there, so it's not surprising that the turtles come to this island, but their main nesting ground, it says their primary nesting ground is on this beach in Mexico. I have a feeling it's not too far away, you know.
Probably not.
And I mean, by too far away, we mean a few miles.
Well, certainly not after we talked about how these turtles will actually swim, right, all the way up to, was it Nova Scotia?
Yeah.
So Mexico is just next door.
Right. And back then, in 1947, that's 70 years ago, right, they found 40,000 nests on a beach in Mexico. And then in 1985, so that's not even now, but that's only 40 years later, they had fewer than 500.
Quite a difference.
And what is the reason?
Well, in this case, it's not the animal predators, but rather poachers that are threatening the animals.
Okay, so what is a poacher, actually?
Well, to poach means to kind of steal or to threaten, and in this case, they are stealing. Often we hear the word with any kind of endangerment with animals. Mm-hmm. Elephants, often there's the poachers for their tusks, something like that.
Okay, so it says here that the poachers decimated the population. If you decimate something, what do you do, Hazel?
You completely destroy it, ruin it.
Okay.
So these eggs or the turtle population, the nests were decimated. And that was by 1985, there were fewer than 500 female sea turtles.
Right, so because they took all the eggs away. So if you think that only 1 in 300 lives anyway, and then you take away all the eggs or you poach the eggs, so you only have less than 500 female turtles, no wonder the population was decimated.
Right.
To decimate means to kill something in large numbers, so you can do this with people, you can do it, usually we talk about it in terms of animals, I think. So they decimated the population, but then, we had a little bit of a turnaround here. What happened?
Well, there was this agreement between Mexico and the United States, which makes sense because, you know, between the island, which is in the United States, and then the neighboring country, Mexico, an agreement to kind of, I guess, preserve or to keep safe from poachers.
Okay. And actually, it paid off. Okay. The nesting grounds were protected, and then the population rebounded. What does that word mean?
Rebounded, it bounced back.
Okay.
You hear that term in basketball a lot. It rebounds and someone else gets the ball. But here it means something was very low and maybe it wasn't healthy. And when that rebounded, it came back to its original state.
Okay. So we don't know if it came back to its original state, but it came back quite a bit. And I think it's so interesting. It says until recently, and then numbers dropped again. And this article was written in 2015, so it's a couple of years old. So hopefully something is being done about this again. They're protecting this area again. And the other one that I think of when I think about numbers rebounding are like the American bald eagle. You know, that population was almost decimated. And now, you know, there's an abundance of bald eagles because they're protected. So we see that with a little help from us, we're usually the culprit, actually. I hate to say this about people. We're usually the problem for populations of animals disappearing.
But as these articles will point out, we can also be behind the preservation and the conservation efforts made.
Yeah. So hopefully we can, you know, really take this to heart. Well, let's continue on. Now we're going to leave Sea Turtle Incorporated and we're going to go to a birding center.
Two, South Padre Island Birding and Nature Center. Walk more than half a mile along a boardwalk over the wetlands, watching ducks fledge, fish spawn, butterflies flutter by, and exotic-looking birds make an appearance. Then, climb the five-story observation tower for a bird's-eye view of the bay.
So not too far away, just, you know, really just a half mile away along a boardwalk over the wetlands. You might see this word very commonly. It's very commonly used, especially in, you know, areas around beaches and in tourist towns, boardwalk. And really, it's just a wide walkway. It says here it's over the wetlands. I think of the East Coast and Atlantic City. I often think of the word boardwalk, where it's along the ocean. It's a walkway along the ocean, and all the shops are, like, next to it on the land side.
And, of course, they used to be made out of wide boards, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure that it's always wooden anymore. Maybe it could be concrete or something else, but the term boardwalk, I think of the big wooden planks
that you walk along. Right. And here, it's out over the wetlands. What is a wetland? I mean, I know it's wetland, but what does it really mean?
Well, it refers to a lowland area, right, that is kind of engulfed with water, saturated with water. And you can kind of think of it as like a swamp, but not necessarily. It could be kind of just near the kind of where the ocean is extended and the boardwalk goes over.
Okay, so it's not like fresh running water we're talking about. It's usually standing water.
Right.
So it's kind of safe for, well, we look here, we see watching ducks fledge. And if that's happening, what's going on, Hazel?
Well, I think a fledgling is a small bird or duck that's feathers are not quite developed. Maybe they have little baby feathers and then those will change and they'll grow into adult ducks. So I think it just means watching young ducks grow up, probably.
And then we see fish are spawning, so that means that they're laying their eggs. And we see butterflies flutter by. So actually, you can tell by the activity here that the water is pretty still. I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about when we talk about wetlands. And also, there are a lot of plants that grow in wetland areas. So it's kind of a safe area for small fish or for small birds like ducks here. And you can tell this because the fish are spawning here. And they don't spawn in, like, fresh flowing water at all, because the water needs to be pretty still. And then butterflies flutter by. If we look at this word flutter, it's kind of a cool word to flutter. What does it mean, Zach?
Right. A butterfly will flutter just to move its wings up and down very quickly. Also, leaves flutter or something like that.
Okay, so they kind of fly by, and it's a delicate movement we think of.
Right.
Right.
As opposed to birds that flap their wings. You know, I think of that as kind of noisy and awkward, maybe.
Right. No, flutter is much more delicate. It's a very soft movement.
Right. When you think of a tree with maybe the weather's changing and leaves flutter down mm-hmm. slowly to the ground, and a butterfly is like that, very delicate and flutters by.
Okay, and sometimes small children, dancers, you know, when they're dancing delicately and, like, spinning, we say they're fluttering. And then exotic-looking birds make an appearance. So if we think of this word exotic, what do you think of?
I think of something very unusual, maybe many different colors, or it's in its shape, or, mm-hmm. It's particular kind. It's just very unusual.
And usually, if we look at our vocabulary focus, we say it seems to come from a faraway place, like maybe a tropical country. And we're looking at birds here coming up from South America, probably. So to an American that would be going there, it would be extremely exotic. And because we're in Asia, you know, to us, I mean, this is pretty exotic, because a lot of the things when people first come here, like the fruit can be exotic, because most people, like where I'm from, haven't seen half the fruit that's available in Southeast Asia mm-hmm. or in Asian countries. So we have exotic looking birds that come, and then you can go, they have an observation tower. You can go up, climb up it, and get a bird's eye view of the bay, which we talked about yesterday, which means you can, you know, it looks, you can see what a bird can see. Okay, well, we're going to leave the Birding and Nature Center, and we're going to go over to the Coastal Studies Laboratory. So join us.
Three, Coastal Studies Laboratory. At the southern tip of the island, don't miss the humble Coastal Studies Laboratory, part of the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. You can peer into a bank of aquariums holding native fish and invertebrates, or inspect a huge whale skull. The lab serves as headquarters for the Marine Mammal Stranding Network. Researchers here whirl into action when critters wash ashore. They also educate the public about keeping beaches clean and healthy.
So now we're going to the southern tip of South Padre Island, and we are at the, it says, the Humble Coastal Studies Laboratory, which is part of the University of Texas. And that doesn't sound very humble to me. But if something is humble, what is it?
Well, it could be small, kind of small in stature. Maybe it's a less popular or well-known site.
Okay. And we're in a laboratory here that's part of the University of Texas, right?
Right. It sounds like it's a very simple place, mm-hmm. Not decorated well. Probably many people don't go there. But it is part of the University of Texas in Rio Grande Valley. And you can, they have a peer into the aquariums, it says, into a bank of aquariums holding native fish. So,
oh, not my money?
In this instance, a bank just means many of them together, probably, and so there are lots of aquariums. They have native fish, fish that are local in that area, and other invertebrates, or invertebrates that you can inspect, even a huge whale skull while you're there.
So if we're looking at fish and a whale skull, then what is an invertebrate?
Right, so it's an animal that does not have a spine.
Okay, so a lot of insects don't have spines, right? So that's an invertebrate.
Right.
So they do have an interesting collection, it sounds like. But what is this? What's the purpose of this lab, actually?
Well, the purpose is actually to educate the public and to kind of keep beaches, it says, clean and healthy.
Okay, and it's a headquarters, actually, for the Marine Mammal Stranding Network. That's kind of an interesting title.
So usually the word strand, to strand, means to be caught somewhere, you're stuck somewhere. So, and it also says that researchers whirl into action when critters wash ashore. So I get the idea that maybe whales or other sea animals, sea creatures are stranded on the beach and they rush into action to try to save them.
Yeah, I like their use of their words here. Whirl into action. You know, if something's whirling, it means it's twirling by really quickly. And so it means that they really get into gear and get into action here very quickly. And yeah, critters, that's also another interesting word. We think of critters as all kinds of small animals.
Yeah, it's almost it's not slang, but a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a scientific word at all, but you talk about critters as animals.
A little less formal.
Right.
Yeah. When I think of the word, I never thought about ocean critters, but I usually think of, you know, usually critters are like rodents of some kind.
Or squirrels.
Yeah. So here, it just means it can be something like that out of the ocean. I mean, they're being washed ashore, so it is something coming from the ocean. And we have the word marine here also, which means that it has to do with the ocean as well. So animals being stranded on the beach from the ocean, okay? And now we're going to do something entirely different. We're going to go to Coconuts Water Sports.
That sounds like fun.
I know.
4. Coconuts water sports. When your brain is packed, take to the skies for an overview of the island from a parasail. Several companies offer rides, including Coconuts water sports. Passengers strap on harnesses and are slowly reeled up and away from the boat. From what seems like outer space, they can peer down on the island and boats far below.
Well, since our brains are full, okay, Hazel, we're going to go to coconut water sports.
Oh, my brain is so packed. So I think I'll take to the skies. And when you go parasailing, you can get an overview of the island. And I guess parasail is from the word parachute and perhaps sail. So parasail makes sense. And there are several companies that offer rides, but I'll bet they're not free.
No, probably not. I think we talked a little bit about this yesterday. You know, you put on a harness, and then you're reeled up and away from the boat. And if you're reeled, it just means that there, you know, you're attached to a rope, or a rope is attached to that harness, and as they pull it in or reel it in, then you go up into the sky.
Right. Often you hear the word reel, like involved with fishing. Mm-hmm. You can reel your rod as you bring in the fish.
Right. Actually, we call that a rod and reel in some parts of the country, mm-hmm. which means a fishing pole. And once you're up there, you know, you can, it says, it seems, from what seems like outer space, you can look down. It's another way to say to get a bird's eye view. You can peer down on the island and down on the boats because you are far up in the sky. So there's a lot to do on South Padre Island.
Right.
A lot of educational things to do and a lot of fun things to do.
Right. I think that phrase, up and away, there used to be a song, up and away. So sometimes you'll hear those two ups together, up and away.
Yeah, it's kind of to emphasize it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that song, too. I think it's from our era.
Ooh, long, long time ago.
Well, we need to go. We're out of time. We're glad you took a trip with us to South Padre Island, and we hope that you'll join us again for another article here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.